Bless you guys. Thanks. Yeah, I hope they fix that. Jesus loves me too much to give me a handheld. That would not be good in the beginning of the night. Wow, you guys showed up, huh? Look at you. You look amazing. I didn't turn around. When I come in, there wasn't this many folks. They were just coming in. We came in, and the worship was amazing. There was such a corporate. I was sitting there. I was like, wow. That the one guy here was saying about Jesus being Lord, and there was a roar behind me. It was like, roar. I thought, these folks are serious. This is good. I'm going to really mix it up. I'm going to take a step of faith and do what I believe I heard during the worship when we were singing Hail King Jesus. Sometimes you do Matthew 10. Sometimes you preach the kingdom of God's here. Then you heal the sick and you cleanse the leper and you raise the dead and you cast out spirits. Sometimes you do Luke 10. Sometimes whatever city you're in, you heal the sick there and then you tell them the kingdom's here. And I was sitting there and I felt like the Lord said, I want you to do a Luke 10 tonight. And I felt the pleasure of the Lord in my heart and I just believed it was God. And when you're up in a position like I'm in and humbled like this to hand me a mic, you could pray for the sick in any service and Jesus would be pleased. He just would. It's the gospel. When you understand that and you do that by faith, he is pleased for you to pray for the sick. But I felt like tonight he told me that's how we're going to start this weekend. And I felt like there is going to be a lot of significant, really powerful things take place in this room in the next few minutes. Really significant, powerful things. Some of you, if you were healed, you might not know it because of the situation. And you might need time, overnight, a hard day of work. Sitting longer than I make you when I'm preaching. Something like that. Some people, if you're healed, you would know it right away. You going to be all right? You going to be able to work this out? You think you will? So I just keep going. I'm pulling for you and Jesus in you. My little sound buddy from last year. You were so amazing. He was my buddy last year. Let's do this. Let's just do this. We don't need music playing. Jesus is here. You know he's here, right? Okay. Whether you would know if you were healed or not. Let me ask you this, just so I get a show of hands. If you were healed tonight, you wouldn't really be able to tell. You wouldn't be able to check your body because of the condition. You'd need time to tell. You really wouldn't know right now. Let me see how many people in the room have a condition. If they were healed, they wouldn't necessarily be able to say, man, I got healed, because there wouldn't be anything specifically to mark or check or tell. Okay? Raise your hands real high. There's a bunch of you. Okay? Let me see. Put your hands down for me now. If you were healed tonight, some of you might put your hand up again because you had a different condition or something, but there's something in your body. You can't hear, you can't see, you got degenerate stuff, you got bone on bone, you got rods, pins. Saw a lady last week with rods and pins in her leg, lift her leg up past her waist. Her husband's crying as his wife for 10 years with pins in her legs, has her leg bent like a pretzel. Jesus is really cool. If you were healed tonight, you would know it if you were healed without exaggeration, without hype. We don't even, look, I even set these guys down. Nobody can say we pulled the emotional card on you. I'm just obeying what I believe I heard. And I'm in pretty safe ground because even if I didn't hear it, it's still his heart. So we'll probably get away with it anyway. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm on the right team. We got the right captain. So if you were healed tonight, and you, without exaggeration, you could actually take your time, check your body, and you would actually be able to identify if your body changed. Who would that be? Let me see your hands high. Raise your hands high. Good. Okay, I want both groups. Both groups, first question, second question, stand to your feet, please. We going to be all right? Or you want me to try the handheld? What do you want to do? Because I'll work with it, man. I'll just, hey. I laid down my life a long time ago. If I have to hold a handheld for their sake, I could do it. It's going to be a little hard to do the way I usually do, the way the seating is, but I think we can pull it off if I heard to do it in my heart. The folks that are sitting, I want you to help me. Everybody standing, raise your hand real high. Leave your hand up until somebody finds you and claims you. So everybody's sitting. Don't just grab your spouse. Find somebody maybe you don't know. If you have to squeeze out and slide, make adjustments. We're not in a rush. This is so important. Don't pray yet. Don't anybody pray yet. We're going to do this together as a family. God's going to come in one big sweep in this room. It's going to be fun. Jesus is really, really good. Get your hand up. If somebody claimed you, if somebody grabbed you, put your hand down. I only want hands up if they're still looking for you. Keep your hand up if nobody laid claim to you yet. If you can get into this middle section, or if some of you can try to get out somewhere, somebody get to somebody with a hand up that I have available. One-on-one, don't double up. I need one-on-one. We can cover it. It looked like we could cover it. I'll give you a little bit of a chance. Only leave your hand up if nobody claimed you. Can you move around? Can somebody help me? Look at some hands. I've still got a bunch right here in the center. Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do in the middle, because there's a pile of you. Turn around, find the person right in front or in back, and you guys be each other's partner, and you take turns. This will be fun, man. Watch. One of you will pray, bam, Jesus will show up. And then the other one pray, bam, it'll be fun. Do that, okay? Anybody else help me? Who can help me? Who's still looking? Who's looking for somebody? I got a guy here. I got a lady. I got a couple people. Can we fill the gap? Yeah, thank you, dear. Are we out of participants? Did we use everybody? Because if you're uncomfortable doing this, I really want you on my team. Because you won't rely on yourself at all. You're scared. That's good. I know that's not normally preached, but if you're uncomfortable, get on my team. Because you'll be like, Jesus, if you don't show up, it ain't going to be good. So if you're scared, get out of your chair and find somebody. If you never prayed for the sick, that would be great to get involved. Did we get everybody, or did your arm get tired? Do we have everybody? Can you double up, ma'am? You double up? Can you handle them both in the Holy Ghost? Your smile tells me so. Did we get everybody? Okay, here's what we're going to do. I just felt like kicking this whole weekend off this way in my heart. I felt like the Lord said, I don't want you to Matthew 10, I want you to Luke 10. And I knew exactly what that meant. And I went, whoa, awesome. Hi, Des. Good to see you, buddy. Take 3 seconds. Ask the person who stood up that you're praying for what it is. Give them the 3-second version. Don't pray yet. Just tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. 3-second version. Okay? You got it? You guys are good. You got it? Hey, 3-second version. You got it? You guys are Fellowship City, man. This is awesome. Are we ready? Y'all get it? You know what you're praying for? Okay, the reason I did that is Matthew 17. The Bible says if you have faith. Now watch, I know we want to encourage everybody to live in faith, but the person you're praying for doesn't even have to have faith, honestly. I'm not going to get in a lot of teaching and theology right now, but the fact that they stood up says to me they got faith. But here's what you want to do when you pray for the sick. You want to believe that God's good and that he paid a price to redeem their life and heal their body, and you want to believe that. Matthew 17 says, if you have faith, here's what you'll do if you have faith. You'll say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will. So if they said, I have arthritis pain in all my major joints, and it feels like things are deteriorating, and I'm having a hard time through the day. Faith says to the mountain, arthritis, you leave their body, every pain, you go right now in Jesus' name. Now, I'm only going to give us a little 6-second window to pray. I am. You know why? So you don't try too hard. So you don't get into works. So you don't try to pray right and powerful and spiritual. So you don't have time to think of the 3 favorite scriptures that rev you up. Oh, I ain't kidding. I'm giving you 6 seconds because when we pray for the sick, we shift self-conscious immediately across the board almost and try to pray a good prayer. It is not your prayer tonight that's going to heal the sick. Your prayer never has, never will heal the sick. It's what you believe about who he is and what he accomplished and how he loves that person you're about to pray for. Like, watch this. Be healed in Jesus' name is probably plenty when there's a revelation. I think in sincerity, we've tried a little too hard. Who's ever prayed for the sick and got self-conscious and tried to pray right? That's what made it wrong right away. You got 6 seconds tonight. This is the only time for 6 seconds tonight I'm going to be quiet. I promise. After the 6 seconds is over, it's on. But for now, for 6 seconds, I can do it. I'm going to get quiet, and here's what you're going to do. You're going to speak specifically what they told you. If they can't hear out of an ear or both ears, ears you hear. God made you to hear. You hear in Jesus' name. I'm going to stop y'all in 6 seconds. When I say, okay, wrap it up, you wind that thing down in the next couple moments. Father, because you love them in Jesus' name. If we prayed for you tonight and you could tell, let me see again, real high your hands if you will be able to tell if you're healed. You'll know. Okay, we got a bunch of people to check on. If you wouldn't know, here's what you do. It's the same as act faith, the same as act prayer. And when they say amen, here's what you do. Wow, Father, thank you that you love me. I thank you. These things will never come back. The situation is over. You are so good. Thanks for nailing it down through nailing your son to the cross. Thanks for loving me. That's how you finish out, right? If you would be able to tell, here's what I want you to do. Take a little time. Don't hurry. Don't be like, ooh, ooh, and then say later, you know. No, no, I want you to make sure, whatever that means, make sure your body changed. And when you know you're healed, I want you to let us know by just going like this when you know you're healed. I'll probably take a couple testimonies. You know what I mean by every healing to me, honestly, I'm not just saying this, every healing is significant. But you know what I mean about what when I say significant? Somebody that can't hear at all, and now they can hear. We tend to think that's more powerful than somebody's pain leaving their elbow or something. It costs the same. But it's something that you've been praying for a long time, you couldn't hear, if you were born with something. Last week, the lady was 10 years in a certain situation. One lady couldn't hear at all, and her ear popped open, and her daughter talked. She heard her. It was the sweetest thing you just are going to see. So when stuff like this happens, we want to know about it. While they're testifying, if your body hasn't totally changed or doesn't seem to have changed, you listen. You thank God, he's good, he's a healer, and you thank him for what he's doing in you and check your body again. Don't disconnect. Don't go here. Stay here. Don't go here. Don't say, boy, here we go again. I know I shouldn't have stood up. I never get healed. This is about the 7th time you can't tell me something ain't blocking my healing. I think I need deliverance, man. I don't know what. Come on, I've been around us. I'm just being a friend. Turn this thing off tonight and stay engaged in faith. Don't turn faith into a point in time. This isn't hit, miss, win, or lose. Here we go. That's not what we're doing. Thank you, God, you're good. You paid a price, and you're bringing your redemption all through this room, right? So no matter what you experience, keep your heart this way. After a handful of testimonies, you watch what'll happen. You stay engaged. You stay thankful. You listen. And after a handful of testimonies, like popcorn in a bag, 5 minutes into this thing, hands are going to triple. Boink, boink. And what Jesus is going to do in one sweep, he's going to teach us he's good, he's a healer. He's going to teach us how faith works, how to not let go, how to not live analytical and talk yourself out of truth with facts. Lots going to happen in the next few minutes. Are you all ready? You got 6 seconds. You ready? You can't even get self-conscious in 6 seconds because you're going to say to the mountain, you don't even have to come up with anything. See how nice I am? Take one look at that person you're going to pray for and make them a little uncomfortable. Look at them with loving eyes like they're worth the blood of Jesus. They're worth the blood. Are you ready? Are you ready? 6 seconds. Go. Give them the kingdom right now. Jesus, thank you. Gee, yeah. Thank you, God. Okay. That's so amazing. I gave you like 12. Just start backing down. Thank you, Father. Wind it up. Acknowledge his love. In Jesus' name, man, you guys are for real. Woo, that was a roar. Thank you, God. Go ahead. Thank God he loves you. Thank him he loves you. Okay. The people we prayed for, take your time. We're not nervous. We're not in a hurry. Check your bodies and be sure. But as soon as you know you're healed, some people know quick. Some people got to really check. Go like this as soon as you know you're healed. As soon as you find out and know, I want your hands to go like this. Make sure you know. Yeah, for sure? For sure. Yeah, who else? For sure. Good. Take your time. Let me see your hands. Check your bodies. Check your bodies. Check your bodies. Let me see some hands if you're healed. Don't do your hand if you're not. I'm not looking for right answers. I want people healed. Yeah, for sure? Good. We're not in a hurry. Yeah? You know it for sure. Awesome. Anybody else? Keep checking. Yeah? Back there. It's dark back there, but I see that. Good. Anybody else? Make sure I see you. It's important. Yeah? For sure? Good. Okay, now watch this. Yeah? See how we're taking our time and checking? Good. Some of this stuff is changing as you're checking. Who's changing as you're checking? Yeah? Yeah? Is that what happened to you? Stay with me here. You too? Both of you and you? Hey, this is getting good. Anybody else still checking and you're saying me? Check your body. Let's do this. Let's do this. All at one time, I want you to go like this. If you raised your hand for me, then your body changed. I want to know where you are and who you are. All at one time. Do that so I can see you and have a visual. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's a good bunch of you there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. Who's going to share a testimony? Who wants to tell us what happened and not be shy? You're going to tell us? Go ahead, shout it out, and I'll help them. And unless you got a mic, you want to do a mic? You're not afraid of a mic, are you? You made a face. There's no fear in your life. You know.
Woo, praise
yeah,
Jesus.
She ain't afraid of a mic. That's a good way to break it.
Wow.
What happened?
You know what? He didn't even pray for my heel because there was too many things to ask for. But I haven't been able to walk on this heel for the last several weeks. It hurts so bad. And it's gone.
It's completely gone. You can push on it, touch it. You couldn't walk without limping? Amen. Hey, if you were prayed for, keep checking your body, even if it didn't change as they testify. Who else wants to share? Who has a testimony you want to share? Come on, you guys raise your hand. Don't be afraid of a microphone. Who, back there at the camera? Get the mic to her. That's awesome. She's serving, and look at that. Jesus came in. I like that. Hey, now I've seen about 20 hands. Don't you guys be shying out on me because of the microphone.
So for about 18 years, I've had chiropractic adjustments and massage therapy on my back since an accident when I was 15. And it's actually loose for the first time in as long as I can remember.
feels totally different. Your back feels totally different than the last 18 years. So you just know that in your body. You know.
Absolutely.
18 years.
My back between my shoulder blades is like a cement block normally. And it's completely loose.
Change. Good. Who else? I need a testimony. Come on, I had a bunch of hands. Don't. Where's my, yeah, we're going to have you. Bawk, bawk, bawk. Where's it? You got to give Jesus glory, guys, because it helps other people too.
My back's been healed. And yeah, I'd have trouble sleeping at night and stuff and just couldn't, standing up for any period of time, just began to hurt. And
so how do you know it changed? Like, what'd you check? What'd you have to do to check it? Wasn't it that hard to check?
Twisting around and just standing.
So it wouldn't have been hard to find a problem.
No, not at all.
No?
Yeah.
And you don't have any problem in there?
No, sir.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Who else? Who else going to share testimony? Yeah, we got one? Good. Hey, I seen some hands over in this section. I'm waiting for somebody to testify. Yeah, you going to? Good.
Hi, Dan.
Hey.
Listen to you a lot, and you're very, very inspiring with your truth. So my back was feeling burning and pinching when he started, and then it went away. And also I had a broken collarbone, and there's all these muscles in here. We're super tight all the time. I can't lay on that side. And right now I just feel totally relaxed.
Okay. So it just feels different.
It just, yeah, for sure. It just went away.
Tonight, if you want to lay on that side, I would tell you just lay on that side and smile, man, thank God. Seriously, that's the stuff I would do. And I would just crawl in bed and say, thank you, Jesus. Lay right on that thing. It's good. See, sometimes don't ever make light of this. They know because it's their body. And you say, well, that's not, well, if you live that way for 18 years and you know what it felt like day in and day out since you were 15 and all of a sudden it's changed, you're going to know it. Don't make light of this stuff. Go ahead, dear.
Hello.
Hey.
I fractured my ankle in October, and I've gotten a second report lately from my chiropractor and my physiotherapist that I might need surgery on it because there was soft tissue damage. So on the inside of my ankle, it's very, very weak, and I can constantly feel pain. And although I feel a little bit more on the soft tissue on the outside, the inside where it's been causing me the majority of pain is completely gone.
Completely gone. So that's significant to you, what you're experiencing right now with what you've been going through and the knowledge you have about the injury, that's a significant thing. So it wouldn't have been hard to find pain in that spot. Have you had any times without pain since it happened?
No, not at all.
No.
I've been trying to work out and I just, it's
and right now
painful.
You can't find pain at all in that spot.
Not in that one spot. No, on the outside I can
just
feel
a little
tiny bit and I feel it already as I'm moving it.
Like it's just
going away.
Fading. That's good. And you were supposed to have surgery?
They were talking about surgery, but God's report.
I'm thinking you're having surgery right now. Yeah? Like right now. Who else? We got some more takers over here. Good. I'm proud of you. Yeah, stand up. Let them see your smile. Oh, look at her trembling. Oh, bless your heart.
Mine's too. I stood up for both.
For what?
For both. Both times?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, the first one is, one of them I'll have to wait to see.
Sure, sure.
Because from the doctor today, I'm bleeding, and he doesn't know where it's from.
Okay.
My iron is at 8, the lowest is at 12.
Okay.
I died in March from having a full hysterectomy, so I'm not losing any blood that way. It's internal, and they can't find it.
Okay.
So I started the iron pills, which is very hard on my stomach.
You stood up for that today.
Yes. But now, before when worship, and I'm a believer in God, I've seen many, felt many miracles, walked in many miracles in the last few years, and my health has been attacked drastically. So I came back, and that message back in March when I had my full hysterectomy, I died on the table, and he used my dad. My dad's in heaven, and he said, you can't, you have to come back. You got too much to do. And you know where you're meant to be. I might be going a little off, but this is where I'm meant to be because I advocate. I advocate as a Christian, and I'm learning how to do that to the government. So keep me in prayer for that.
Okay.
So my health has been attacked as I stand for the nations. So today what happened, the significance that I feel,
yes,
is this: I've had so much pain in my whole body and my stomach that it just goes both ways. My head, my back, my feet, everything.
Okay.
It's so severe, sometimes I just cry and pray just to get up. But today it's just something different moved in my stomach.
Okay.
And I knew it was of God, but it was in a way I've never felt before.
Okay.
During the singing, the worship. And so I just cried out to him. And then this happened. And then the ladies, I shared probably 10 seconds instead of 3.
Yeah, well, I left to go.
And I just standing and waiting, and you were talking, I could feel these little shocks. And I still feel them. Like, I can't. Sometimes I have trouble breathing because the pain is so severe. But this time right now, it's just because I can't contain it.
No, I get it. You just stay standing, Chris. Stay standing. Stretch your hands to this dear woman. Just put your hand right in the middle of your body, honey. I just see you putting your hand right in the middle of your body. Right there. And Father, we just say total wholeness from this day forward. No more pain. And not one trace of bleeding. And Father, I thank you for wholeness and health of the days of her life. Whatever was going on with the attack on her health, I thank you it's over. And I thank you she, her family, and everyone around her will see just your grace and blessing upon her countenance and wholeness in her body. That's right. Never again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good stuff. Who else? So give me one more testimony. Come on. Who was healed? One more test. Yeah, back there. Way back. Thanks, Chris. Man, we're running you, buddy.
Hello.
Hey.
I was in a really bad accident a long time ago that ripped up my spine, and I've been scheduled for another fusion and all the rest of that stuff. And I've had everybody from Joan Hunter to everybody pray for me. And tonight is the most drastic relief I've had. Ever. Like, it's dramatically different.
Dramatically different. Good.
And it's a bad injury, so.
So you just know it's different. Come on, guys. Jesus is so good. Watch. I'll tell you all we did tonight. This isn't about any single person, but Jesus among us. A bunch of folks getting up, standing with a bunch of folks, praying for 6 seconds, a simple heart belief. And his back's dramatically different than any time he's ever been prayed for. It's just simplicity. It's simplicity. Don't get tricked and say, no, Dan, it's the anointing you're carrying, brothers. People tell me that. They say, well, yeah, but you got to understand, Dan. I said, stop. You're thinking way too much. See? It's simplicity. It's just people saying, we believe. And there's a synergism of faith. There's a corporateness of it all. And during worship, she said, during worship, this stuff started happening in her body. No doubt. There's a corporate heart cry and a corporate hunger in this room. And Jesus is here in a special way. The revelation of who he is in the house. Let me ask you this quick question. Of all the people we prayed for, you didn't raise your hand because it wasn't all the way healed, but it was noticeably different, and it changed somewhat. Let me see your hands. Let me see them high. Lift them. You can stay sitting, but lift them high. Look around, guys. You didn't raise your hand because it wasn't completely gone, but there's something noticeably different that you would say has changed. That's a bunch of folks. If your body didn't seem to change, I want you to check it off and on during the service if you can. At the end, we're going to do one little thing, quick thing, and it'll be sweet. But that was probably as many people had their hands up there of the people that originally said they were changed. That's a movement of God's Spirit. That's us all getting involved. Let me ask you this. Who was the first time today, be honest, this was the first time you got assertive and you stepped out and you were bold. You stepped out because you were invited to and you prayed for the sick, and it's not what you would normally do. And this was a new experience for you. Let me see your hands. Thanks. Look, raise your hands. This is a great experience, guys. Okay? Good. I felt like the Lord wanted to just kick off and do that right out of the gate. Why would he do that? You say, well, maybe we're praying for people that aren't even right with God. Well, it's the goodness of God that leads men to change. What are we doing, buddy? You are the best on the planet. Like, I travel everywhere. I've never met anybody like you. He just slips in, slips out, but I can't let him do that. I have to make a scene and notice him. Remember last time? I'm like, this guy is amazing. Like, he just shows up while you're preaching, and he's... He's amazing. He might be better than he was last year. He's better. Man. I gotta sit my water down. That's I'm gonna hit this table 20 times. I will hit this table a bunch. I feel excited. You ready to just get some word in you? Listen, there's a reason Jesus does this stuff. He's good. He paid a price for redemption. He's really, really amazing, guys. Somebody would get thinking too much on this one and say, well, you can't pray for the sick. You didn't even have an altar call. There might be people out here not saved. Look, Luke 10 says, whatever city you're in. What city? Whatever. And that's not whatever. It's whatever city. Yeah, whatever. You don't want to be a whatever person. It's not cool. The kingdom can't work with that. But whatever city you're in, heal the sick. What sick? The. Come on, that's all inclusive. Whatever the. And tell them the kingdom's here. What's he talking about? You're probably praying for people that don't even know the Lord a lot of times. Whatever sick, in whatever city. Sounds like John 6 when they got in the pool of Bethesda. The angel stirred the water. It says, whoever stepped in first was healed of whatever it was. You hear that? Now we're in a new covenant through Jesus. And what we just did here in getting everybody involved is amazing, because he wants to teach us, stay simple, finished work, and let's just believe. I'm convinced. I'm looking at an army. I really am. I'm not hyping this. I'm looking at an army right now. Just think, if we all start stepping out into situations in our everyday life, not at a meeting, in our everyday lives, you start hearing people hurting, struggling, woke up this, oh yeah, I gotta take this every 3 hours, people at your job. You hear it all the time, guys. People telling their struggles and troubles with their health and healing and stuff. The number of people I'm looking at, wonder if we all just started stepping out and just praying for the people we heard that were sick. You say, well, wonder if nothing happens. Well, if we don't pray, we got that. So what are we losing except ourselves? And we already did that. Here's what I'm convinced of. The more people we start praying for, the more things we'll see. And the number one reason I found that people don't pray for the sick is they're afraid nothing will happen. So because they don't pray, they already have what they're afraid of. So let's get past ourselves, how we feel, and be a Christian Nike commercial. And just do it. Serious. Okay? Okay, enough said there. That's just enough said there. You check your bodies here and there, and when we're ending here, we're gonna make sure there's some more things happening in the room, because I just believe Jesus isn't finished doing that. I honestly think that as you're sitting there, you're gonna realize something got even better or changed. In fact, if you get healed while I'm preaching, you won't distract a thing. Just start waving your hand at me. I won't think you're saying hi. Okay? And that'll just tell me that God's still doing stuff, and I'll know how we're gonna end this thing. Okay, here's what's on my heart right now. In this whole praying for the sick thing, Jesus rules his kingdom. It's in Hebrews 1 with a scepter of what? Who knows what it says? Righteousness. Righteousness is a really big deal in the kingdom. Guys, we have to understand righteousness, and we have to understand what it means to live by faith. If God says, I forgive you through the blood, then be forgiven. Come on, I am not this real deep guy. If you don't know me and you came for deep, you came to the wrong meeting. I will disappoint you. If the gospel was complicated and deep, I would never get it. If he says, I love you through the Son on the cross, then receive his love. If he says, I forgive you, don't keep bringing up stuff. Throw away guilt, condemnation, and shame. Because honestly, if you're wearing guilt, condemnation, shame, your heart actually qualifies in a lot of ways. You have life inside of you. There's something good going on inside of you if you care. People that don't care can't be condemned. Condemnation is perverse. It's a wrong way of handling things. But here's the truth. People that don't care on the inside can't be condemned. Because they, whatever, they don't care. I have pastored and seen so many people care so much that they're sure there's something wrong with them. They feel like they're not living up to how much they care about God, love God, what they're called to. So they tend to nitpick, fault find, or get really feeling bad about something they know that's not quite lined up in their life. But the whole reaction or response actually means the gospel's purified your heart to a large degree, and you have a lot of change on the inside. The trouble is you identify with what's wrong instead of growing what's being made right. And all of a sudden you think you're here when you might be here. Because you're caught up trouble seeking and something that hasn't been fixed yet in your life. Are you following me? Let me tell you what righteousness is. Righteousness isn't right. It's righteous. It's different. Right makes you wrong. Righteous makes wrong things right. Come on, you got to get this. God looks at you and me for what we're created for, what we're predestined to be, what he knows from the beginning. He doesn't see you for where you've been and what you've done. He sees you through his Son when you're born again. It takes repentance. You have to step into that through caring enough to say, duh, what was I thinking? What was I doing? Man, I wasn't made for that. Don't let anybody teach you it's not through repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God's here, but repent isn't boo-hoo, I'm sorry. Repent is changing the way you think. Wow, I used to live for myself. Wow, I used to live at the expense of others. Wow, I used to, and now you go, man, I'm done living for me. What an empty street. Man, I'm done. And all of a sudden, there's a shift in your life. You follow me? Come on, I know this sounds basic to some, but I've pastored too long to see too many people walking in levels of guilt, condemnation, and shame. And honestly, I'm going to be strong. Should never be. Guilt, condemnation, shame are three anti-finished works of Christ. The work is finished. When a Christian's living in any of those three for a moment of time, it means he doesn't see the truth. Doesn't mean you didn't do something wrong, but you're responding in a non-productive way. You're responding as if you don't understand and know him. You're responding as if what you did is who you are when your heart's crying out for change. Are you with me? You say, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. But what about what he's done? And when you get your eyes fixed on what you've done, you can't see what he's done. So you become a product of what you've done. And you push aside without realizing you get what he's done and what you become through what he's done. So then you justify condemnation. You say, well, I've been saved 6 months. I should know better. If this didn't change by now, something must be wrong with my heart. Maybe I'm not even saved. I know I got a little extreme with that, but I've heard that more times than I can remember. I don't know, I just feel like talking about this right now. He rules his kingdom with a scepter called righteousness. The power of the gospel, it hinges on Jesus' sacrifice, his shed blood, I understand. But you got to give him a landing strip. It's one thing for God to be merciful, but you got to receive his mercy. I could prophesy to you all day and say God loves you and I'm right, but it's another thing for you to be loved by God. It takes you becoming something. It takes you understanding his heart. It takes you participating in co-laboring, releasing faith so that grace has a place to land. And grace is empowerment. Yeah, you're saved by grace through. So he rules his kingdom with a scepter called righteousness. What he does is he dubs you like a knight, I believe, in the spirit. You bow before him. Lord, he touches you with righteousness, and that makes you right with God. Not wrong with God, right with God. It unveils you. It gives you access. I've met thousands of people in my life, that thousands that talk to me in a way that they don't even have confidence to pray to God when they're alone, because they nitpick with their lives. They think they don't qualify. Jesus qualified you. You got to get alone with him and be with him. If you're being kept from being alone with him and being with him, you won't be intimate with him. How can you bear fruit if you're not intimate with him? How can you ever receive anything from him if you're not with him? Come on, this is so important. Like, eternal life is not a prayer that sends you to heaven when you physically die. Eternal life is knowing the Father. It's John 17. It's eternal life. Now, I know on the earth we made eternal life a prayer and a promise. Receive Jesus and go to heaven when you die. That's the gospel. That's barely the gospel. The gospel is his life coming inside of you. His nature coming inside of you. The gospel is old things passing away and all things becoming new. It's you walking in the light as he's in the light. It's you shining as a light in your life on the earth. You're not waiting to go to heaven. Heaven came to you. Come on the inside to bring change. We preach this little tiny piece called the gospel. We printed it on thousands of tracts. And it's all about when you die. What about when you come alive in him? You're supposed to die now. You die now. You die now to yourself and your own ambitions and your motives that are self-centered. That thing that lives at the expense of people instead of laying down its life for others. That perverse thing. I got away from the table. I would have hit it all night long. I just hit that table. I was in church a couple weeks ago. I said, I can't believe I didn't break that thing. I felt like I was going to do it to that poor table right there, so I'm staying away. I'm not mad at anybody. I didn't come here to spank you, correct you. I came here to tell you who you are, to celebrate, to cheer, hopefully be another voice to sow into what these men of God and people and leaders are sowing, and just, yay. I am not frustrated, upset with nobody. I'm intense about the topic. I see people living in lies when their hearts are good. I've seen sincere folks take a hit because they weren't understanding. And the fact that you care so much says everything about you on the inside. There's a difference between being addicted and striving to stay high or keep doing that thing and scheming how to pull it off again. Who knows, they're still lost. They need a revelation and Jesus loves them, right? There's a difference between that and somebody that's doing that thing and they're broken about it and they can't stop crying at night and they feel terrible on the inside. That person is this close to being more free than they ever thought they could be. See, because you get tricked into thinking you are what you do, but you are what he did. And in the Christianity, it's not performance-based, so it ain't about you changing first. It's about you believing first. But now you be careful about all that teaching out there that says you can claim something without any transformation and change. That's rubbish. What you believe is what brings change. I didn't try to change myself. I never bit my lip to be a good boy. My heart's different. My life's changed. What I see has changed me. I've never tried to wake up and not sin. I just don't think about it. That freaks people out. I feel the strange quiet in here when you talk like that. Because people are saying, did he just say he never ever sins? See, that's how we're geared. Because we're so sin conscious, we have given, we have made sin mighty and powerful. I think a whole lot more of the Spirit and grace in the finished work of Jesus. But because we lord our experience over his grace, we can hardly preach this thing in church without heresy whistles, because we raise our own human experience way above his working power and ability. So we make ourselves be what we've always been and call it humility, but it's false. Humility. When you wear what he paid for, that's humility. He told me to reckon myself dead to sin and alive unto God in Christ. So how's that conscious of sin if I'm reckoned dead to sin? Why do our minds always go, did he just say he's perfect? Well, nobody's perfect. Well, what is he saying? He never sinned. I'm confused. Back up. Because we have been trained to be so sin-conscious, sin-languaged. But he rules his kingdom with a scepter called righteousness. While you were yet sinning, he sent his son. So your sin couldn't stop him coming. His sending wasn't hinged on you cleaning up. His sending was to clean you up. Come on, this is like basic, simple as I can possibly be, Gospel 101. He said he did not come to judge the world. Then why do people judge themselves? He said, but that through me the world might be saved. He said, oh, you're going to have my word that'll judge you in that day. It's John 12, it's there. John 3 says he didn't come to condemn the world. That means give the world what it deserves. There's something about righteousness, people, that we've got to get a hold of as a people. It's what'll keep you running straight and narrow. It's what'll keep you win momentum. It'll keep you going like this. It says we're not going to be condemned that even if we sin, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. And it's Romans 6, and then he says, so should we just not care and go ahead and sin because we're under grace and not law? He says, well, of course not. We already dealt with that in the beginning of the chapter. You died to sin, remember? Isn't it amazing? The Bible says to die to sin, and we can hardly talk about that without boasting in our ability to commit it. Like, everybody thinks the preacher's on risky ground when he's talking about righteousness, dead to sin. The first thing in people's mind, well, what are you saying? You don't sin? Everybody sins. We're probably sinning now and don't even know it. We're probably sinning while we're breathing. You know why you're laughing? Because we talk like that. And when we talk like that, we prove we have no idea what he's saying. So we haven't tasted the joy of righteousness. We haven't tasted a week of not even thinking about sin and actually living in the power of his Spirit and righteousness, which produces its fruit to holiness without you trying to be holy. And then I bumped into this scripture somewhere right around Galatians. It says, if I live in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, that might be heresy. We just might have to check the Lord out on that. Make sure Paul wasn't writing in the flesh. Because you know everybody has their moments, brother. No, that's why you have yours. Because you won't let the gospel change your thinking. So your thinking has no power to change your life. You stay the same. And then you justify what you believe through what you live instead of what he lived. He said, follow me. And he meant it. He didn't say, just sing to me in worship. Pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So maybe I'm just talking about our belief system. Please don't let human experience determine your belief system. Let this. I quote you several places where you died to sin, you reckon yourself dead to it, 1 Peter 2, he died on the cross, bearing your sin and my sin and his body on a tree. Why? That we, having died to sin, there's another place, might live for righteousness. Do you see? When you die to sin, it shifts your mind to righteousness. What's that mean, die to sin? It's stain, it's sting, it's memory, it's defilement, and it's desire. You wake up in the morning and say, Father, I thank you I wasn't made for the flesh. I thank you I was to live in and out of my spirit. I thank you, Father God, that I am not prone and destined to sin at every waking hour. Your life is on the inside of me. You're the one that washed me clean. You're the one that filled me with who you are. And I agree with your judgment towards me, holy, blameless, and above reproach, Colossians 1. And I thank you for loving me and washing me and making me brand new. Now, do you think somebody's going to be sincere talking like that to God and then walk out and just feed their flesh? Do you think I found a way to sin and get away with it? Or do you think I found a way to think apart from it and live free from it? And you can hardly talk about it in the church because we so empower our ability to sin in our minds and our language. And somehow we think perfection instead of purity. The pure in heart shall see God. No wonder Satan has this stuff all muddied up. So now it's an argument over perfection rather than purity. Purity will take you into places you've never been. You'll live in conduct through purity that you didn't even think was possible. So maybe the argument isn't perfection, maybe it's life change. Maybe I didn't say one time out of my heart that I haven't sinned since I was born again, or I haven't sinned in the last month. But I can tell you this, I don't think about it. And if I would mess up in the sense of what we call sin, mess up, sin, don't you think I would know it immediately if I'm in communion with God? Don't you think I'd run right to him and thank him for the truth in my life that separates me from that action and how he empowers me to live free from that thing that used to own me? Don't you think it's enough to want to be perfection, to want to be pure, to want to walk holy? Don't you think grace will meet you there when you know you can't perform it on your own? But if you don't believe what he paid for, how would you walk in the grace that makes it fruitful? Come on. If you're saved by grace through faith and you don't wrap any faith around what we're talking about, how will you receive any grace for change? So what is it possible to live as human beings filled with the Spirit? Does anybody even really know? Have we went after that thing strong enough? Or if somebody did kind of find out, can he even talk about it without getting stoned in men's minds? Here's my question. What is it possible to be when you receive the full measure of the grace that he paid for through the cross? You tell me what that man looks like, and that's what we're paid for to be. I say you ought to all just go after what that looks like and not let anybody talk you out of that. Don't compare yourselves amongst yourselves, and don't let anybody talk you out of truth. Because see, I don't have to stand up here and talk about how much you have to sin and how much you don't have to sin and what my life might look like to me and yours. You live with yourself. Your conscience is before God. And the cleaner you walk and the cleaner you live in this thing called righteousness, the more you're here, the more you understand, and the more you live this way in him. It's just a guarantee. So it ain't something to argue over. It's not a theological dispute. I wish we would just grow up and get past all our little theological debates that have never accomplished one single thing for the kingdom. Not one single thing. It has caused pride. It's made men right. It's made men wrong. And we've missed the gospel the whole time. I'm not talking about a theological dispute. I'm talking about grace sufficient to change you and a faith that allows it to flow. Because if you're not releasing faith in this area, you're not receiving empowerment in this area. So, of course, your life looks the same. And in time, you'll judge yourself. In time, you'll get condemned. In time, you'll feel like you're not what you should be. Or you'll get confused or harden your heart and say, whatever, God knows we're always going to miss it. At least he loves me, I hope. But you'll stop living your convictions and you'll let them change. I hope I'm making sense to somebody. I don't know how I got on this. This is very different for me, this whole topic right here, to kick off a weekend. Let's look at Romans 3 real quick. Okay, I'm getting help from above. Yeah. It's pretty good when you hear that. Just turn to Romans 3. That means we're not done yet. Pretty easy for me to preach out of my Bible. Look at Romans 3. I know right where I'm going because all that red, that's redemption, the blood, the finished work. That's what it means. It's there for a reason. Woo-hoo! If you steal my Bible, that's called sin. Don't even think about it. My Bible is awesome. It's pretty too. Oh my goodness. Look at that. Everything means something. See all that purple? They're conditions for a promise or a commandment of the Lord. You see the orange right under the purple? The orange is a promise. The purple is a condition to receive what was promised. Oh, see the rainbow? Woo! My Bible is awesome. No stealing allowed in the kingdom of God. I mean, you could get real lame and say, well, I'm not a Christian, so I stole it, so I could be a Christian. That would be messed up. My Bible better not disappear this weekend. This is the fourth or fifth one I've had since I've been saved. I mark them all up and I give them to a new believer. And then I get a new one and mark it all up again. Yay. Do you like that? I do. It's a color code, man. Come up with your own. People email me, can you tell me your color code? No, get your own color code. Why do you want my color code? Get your own. It'll mean something to you. Get wild with it. Make any color mean anything you want. Just ask Holy Spirit to reveal those things when you're reading. And get all your little pens out there. Now I know you're so techy today, you just read it on the computer and touch a color. But get a Bible and get alone. And get a pen in your hand and just do it up, man. So here, I'm going to read red. Watch this red in my Bible. But now, but when? Now, right now, the righteousness of God apart from the law, that means men's works. So right now, the righteousness of God apart from men's works is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. See how I was telling you is all right here, see? To all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned. How many? Okay, and fell short or have fallen short of the glory of God. Now watch. Here's why the enemy wants us to stay so sin conscious and call it humility. Because it's false humility. You're to reckon yourself dead to sin. Romans 6:11, but alive unto God. He bore your sin and my sin in his body on a tree. First reason that we, having died to sin, might live to be found right in the sight of God. Okay? So watch. Now let me read this again and let me explain why. For all have sinned and fall short of the... When you are sin conscious, remembering sin, boasting in your ability to continue in sin, or marked in your mind as guilty of sin, you will always fall short of the glory of God. What's that mean? The glory of God is any manifest, made seen, realized attribute of God. That's the body of Christ. The Christ in you is the hope of God. When you're conscious of sin, there is no glory of God coming through your life. The whole reason he lives inside of us isn't so you feel warm and fuzzy. It's so you shine. And if you don't shine, you miss the point of why he's inside of you. Walk in the light as he's in the light. In your light, we see light. We walk in the light as he's in the light. He's the light of the world. He said, you are lights in the world. Therefore, walk in the light as he's in the light. The other verse in Matthew, he said, let your light so shine before men. When you're sin conscious, there's no revealed glory of God, and there's no light. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When you're living in sin, and here's how quick the church is on this. Yeah, but brother, we're all sinning. But we all have sin. We all sin. The reason the devil wants you to keep saying that and believe that is because when you believe that, you cancel the expression of God. You stop the glory of God. Are you with me? Are you sure? There's a strange quiet I'm perceiving in my heart. I'll camp here till we get it. We sin and fall short of the glory of God. So when you reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God, guess what the reward of that is? The expression of God. And the expression of God is the glory of God. Remember when the Israelites were failing terribly? And God said, I'll relent and I'll stop this plague. And he said, but you listen, and you listen good, Moses. As surely as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. What's he saying? I'll tell you what he's saying. He made man for his image. He has a plan through the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He's looking at a bunch of men living under the law of sin and death that are getting it wrong constantly and being fueled by their flesh. But he's talking about a people that are empowered by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, shining as lights in the earth. Waking up for one reason to shine. Waking up for one reason to walk in love. Waking up for one reason, his image. They're all the same. That's why I said one reason, three things. It's all the same. I live in Pennsylvania. You live in Canada. I'm flying home on Sunday. I can wake up Monday and wake up for the love of God and wake up for his image and wake up to shine. You can live up here in Edmonton and wake up for the same reason. That's what makes us one. That's what makes us effective. That's what makes us an army. You might not totally agree on everything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or everything that we preach about healing, but I'll tell you, we can all agree on love. And love is the goal and the purpose of the commandment. And if we miss love, we've missed it all. You with me? Come on, guys. We can celebrate, we can shout, we can sing all we want. But if we miss love, we miss the whole thing. And you say, what is love? The Bible says what's love. It doesn't seek its own, takes no record or account of wrongs, doesn't rejoice in iniquity, it rejoices in truth, never gives up, it never fails, it never changes its mind. Come on, we're quick to say, I love you. I can't believe you did that. Well, that hurt. Well, I'm mad. No wonder I didn't call you. But I love you. Love, it takes no account of the suffered wrong. It takes, keeps no record of wrong. Then why are we so busted up by each other? Because we've learned how to say it, but we have to become it. And a lot of times we say it, it's self-serving. All you're saying is, I need you. You're not saying, you're saying I love you, but you're saying I need you. And we prove it by our reactions. Hey, that was loud. That's pretty cool. You can do some crazy things with this mic. I learned a new trick. You guys all right? Be sure, don't walk out on me. It'll get better. I'll preach better. Stop. Don't leave. Don't leave. He said, as surely as I live, the whole earth will be filled with my glory. What's he doing? God's prophesying. He's saying, it don't matter what it looks like. I know what I see. And this is men apart from the covenant that's coming. This is men apart from my image from the beginning. You think about the perversity of the fall of man. We were all born into it. That's why we got to get born again. We turned it into a prayer that takes me to heaven and benefits me in the end. Instead of a brand new life and a transformation now, so I can live effective and bring glory to his name and write a legacy. We just got to be real careful, man. I know I'm from the U.S. I know that in the U.S., I don't know about preachers in Canada, but I know about a lot of preaching I heard growing up in the U.S. It's always a message that benefits me, blesses me, or gives me something. And that's what keeps people coming. What God promised you, what God promised you. Well, what about what you become? Why are we always just after something from God? What about what we become? Why are we always just looking to get more from God? What about what we're to become? This isn't a beneficial gospel. This is a transforming gospel. This isn't a survival kit. I'm going to grab a hold of God and hope to make it till the end. What does that mean? See, I'm telling you, we've preached 1,000 messages over, and all they do is serve us. The messages serve us and keep us holding on to get something instead of become something. Look, you can get all the getting you want. If you don't become, we're missing the point. See, love lays down its life for another. You know what the opposite is? Live at the expense of. Every time you cop an attitude, every time in a home you put pressure on the other family members and force them to have to respond to your attitude, you're living at the expense of people. Every time you're moody, every time you're living outside of walking in the light, living at the expense of people because you force them in a position that Jesus would never put them. Watch this. Every time you think for yourself and do things for your own gain, your own notoriety, your own name, your own prestige. You're living outside of why you're here. You know why people think life is tough? Because they're living it outside of grace. They're living it outside of why they're here. That's why they think life is a gift. You wake up in the morning and nobody owes you a thing. That's freedom. You wake up in the morning and all you're doing is following him and he's loving people. That's freedom. There ain't no attitude in that, disappointment in that, despair in that. There ain't no anxiety in that. You ain't trying to make it anymore. You have already arrived. You understand why you're here. You're here for nobody to owe you anything, so you can owe no man anything but to love. I found it. It's Romans 13. You can't talk me out of it. I already read it. You can give me all the psychology you want and who said what and how. And we got it. Yeah, but brother, too late for me. I don't see Jesus letting people change who he is. That's why he's changing people. Yo, I hope you got that. Ain't nobody changed him. Nobody did him right. His own guys were confused and deceived. The shepherd was struck and the sheep scattered and they all said they'd die a meal ago. A little later, they got a chance and they all fled. None of that changed Jesus, but he changed them. He's not breaking bread saying, you bunch of wimps. I poured my life into you for how many years? You saw miracle after miracle. They're going to come and get me tonight. You're all going to run for your own lives. Why? Your lives are pitiful without me anyway. Why would you go back to the same old lives? Bunch of idiots. Didn't you learn nothing in the last 3 years? See, we never heard Jesus talk like that. So where'd we learn to? Because he didn't teach us. And he said, call no one on earth your teacher. You got one. He's the Christ. So if we're saying what he never said, where'd we learn it? you ever read the chapter where Jesus is just sitting up on the Mount of Olives and he's bummed? You never read it? He's just depressed. Peter walks up to him and says, Lord, what's the matter? Rubs through his hair. What's the matter, Lord? You know, Peter, I just don't think people like me. I mean, I'm trying, Peter. I mean, you see me every day. Is there anything you need to correct me in? Because, I mean, I try. I'm trying to be loving. I'm helping sick folks. I mean, you know, remember what I did with the food? I mean, it just bothers me because the next day, the only reason they came back, you saw it, they just wanted more food. They could care less about what I have to say. I mean, I'm just struggling with this whole savior of the world thing. Like, it just doesn't seem like it's working. Like, if they didn't change by now, why are they going to change? Like, I mean, is it really worth going through what I'm about to go through? It's bad enough now. You never read that chapter? No? Why didn't you ever read that chapter? It's not in there, Chris? Did you read the whole book? And it's not in there. I wonder why it's not in there. Oh, I know why. Because he's Jesus. No. Because he's love. That's why it ain't in there. See, here's the problem. And he likes me saying this. We make him a special man. Jesus. And what makes him special is he's love. And that's what you're here for. Let us make man in our... Don't you ever forget it. The whole reason we're on the planet is to be found in his image and his likeness. And he is love. And the things we learned weren't from him. Called the fall of man. The language we spoke never came from him. The attitudes we had, you ain't never seen one of them in him. The unforgiveness, the bitterness, not one of them did you ever find in him. Ever. Why? Because he's love. Every day, he's love. And where sin abounds, grace comes greater. Love covers a multitude of sin. And while we were all sinners falling short of the glory of God, he was showing us what it looks like. And he said, follow me. That's the gospel in a nutshell. You did not, please, please, please spare me. You did not pray a prayer to go to heaven, even if that's what somebody told you. You die to your old life so you can step into the new one that was prepared before time. You step out of what Adam made you to be to step into what Christ paid for. You did not pray a prayer to go to heaven someday when you die. We have so reduced the gospel to a self-serving gesture. We have made the gospel benefit us at the cost of it not transforming us. So you can claim eternal life and keep your attitude. It's not just, hey, if you leave here tonight and die hitting a tree on a snowy road, do you know where you're going to go? And if not, raise your hand, every eye closed. We'll pray for you. And then you say, wow, 45 people got saved. I know God's merciful, and sometimes he works with our frail efforts. But he never told us to teach that. You can't even back any of that up with Scripture. He did not tell us to teach that. He said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Unless you love less your mother, your father, your wife, your children, your houses, land, there's no way you'll fulfill what I called you to and created you for. That's the word of the Lord. It's die to live. He says in Romans 6, shall we go ahead and sin so grace can abound? Of course not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Or do you not know? As surely as you were baptized into his death, right? Your old man, your old nature was swept away. And when you rose, just like he rose by the glory of the Father, you rose in the newness of life. Yeah? Your old man was crucified, buried with him in baptism into death. They threw it up there. These guys are amazing. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk. Can you back up to verse 1 for me, please? What shall we say then? Why is he asking the question to start the chapter? Because we made chapters out of one book. But a better answer is because at the end of chapter 5, which wasn't a chapter, it's all one big letter to the Romans. We just split it up in chapters for some reason. Then that causes trouble because preachers start in a therefore, misinterpret it, and don't even know what it was there for. No, it's true. Because every time you see a therefore, it means in light of what I just said. So if you start with a therefore, it better be on the heels of what was just said so you get the right interpretation. When you talk about this sin-free thing, people say out of context, well, brother, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth ain't in you. That's 1 John chapter 1, out of context. What he's talking about is if you have no need of the blood, and if you say you've never sinned, because two verses later he clarifies it, says if you say you have not sinned. But in between he says if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all. Two verses before that, you're forgiven of all sin. Two verses later, you're forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness. So if you're forgiven of all sin, forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness, that sounds pretty clean. So he's not saying, if you're saying you ain't always sinning, you're twisted. He's saying, if you say you have no need for this righteous judgment and you have never sinned, you're deceived. Because 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, little children, I write these things so you do not sin. Maybe John should get on the list too. Another false teacher. Heretic. John the Beloved. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so grace? Well, sure, brother, because we all sin. Everybody has sin. We're not perfect. We're probably sinning right now, brother. Is that what you're reading? Then why do we say it nonstop in the body of Christ? We justify our ability to sin nonstop, therefore refusing the grace that is designed to change our lives. Shall we continue in sin so grace keeps on coming and abounding? Certainly not. Look, you might have thought you prayed a prayer to go to heaven, but the gospel didn't teach you that. How shall we who died to sin live in any longer? See, when you got saved, you might not even been told none of this. It might have been all about going to heaven instead of transformation. See, the night I got saved, it had nothing to do with going to heaven. It was just God in the hallway at work and me, with no human being nowhere around. When I got saved, it had nothing to do with going to heaven. It had to do with me becoming a brand new person and heaven coming into me and getting changed. So I gave my life and he gave me his. Ain't that something? It was never about going to heaven. Watch this. Certainly not. Or do you not know? Some people just don't know. That as many of us as were baptized into Christ, that means immersed and dipped into his name to become one with him, we were baptized into his death. Well, what was his death? Because he didn't ask us to hang on a cross. He just told us to carry one. Let's keep going. This feels right. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. We better find out what that means. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we so should walk in a brand new life. This isn't a confession to go to heaven. This is a new life. Verse 5. For if we've been united together in the likeness, so that's the third time he said it in three verses. We've been baptized together in his death. We're in his death. Now we're in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall be in the likeness of his. So it ain't just about dying. It's about, woohoo. Verse 6. Knowing, see, you better know. Second time you saw that. Knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of death would be what? Done. That means it is no more. That we should no longer be. I looked up that word slave. That means bound and chained to serve its testimony. Ain't that something? Do you see that I'm not preaching a sermon? I'm just reading scripture off the wall? You better read the handwriting on the wall. Am I preaching my sermon, or is this all in the Bible? Boy, I suggest we be Bible believers, not experiential believers. Bible believers. Because it's grace that changes you. You don't say, man, I really blew up on my wife this morning. I sure thank God for his grace. You got it wrong. His grace keeps you from blowing up. So you're claiming something without a revelation to become something. That's called misrepresenting something. That's why sin causes us to fall short of the glory of God. That's why you reckon yourself dead to it so the glory shines. Yay. Oh, this, come on, it's simple. Next verse, please. You guys good with this? Oh my goodness, this has to be heresy. Because you're always going to sin, brother. You're probably sinning while you're breathing. I mean, nobody's perfect. What are you saying? You're perfect, Dan? What do you mean you're saying? You didn't even sin? These aren't my notes. This is Romans 6. This isn't my interpretation. It's Bible. How many people just died or prayed a prayer to go to heaven and didn't understand they were dying to themselves? See, when you die to yourself, you die to sin. Here's what we don't understand. And I'll get in trouble for saying this because people are just walk. They just, there's some folks that are set on listening to every word you say to find what they don't agree with and criticize. Now, here's the scary part. That's all that happened to Jesus for 3 years. And watch, total truth standing in front of them. And they were so sure he was wrong, he was worthy to die. And he was total truth, Chris. And they were sure he was total wrong. Couldn't even hear truth itself. That's scary. Most people teach that Jesus couldn't sin because he was God. Well, if that's why he couldn't sin, then it's frivolous to give us all these scriptures about being dead to sin, walking free from sin and not sinning. He didn't not sin because he was God. He came as a man. He laid down his glory and made himself of no reputation. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the man. If he came as God, he wouldn't need anointed. If he came as God, he's already anointed. Why would Holy Spirit have to come upon him in a water baptism? He was tempted at what? All points, yet without. Can you tempt God? Then how could he be tempted? Does God ever slumber? Where was Jesus in the boat in the storm? How many more examples do you need that he was a man? Can I tell you very simply why he didn't sin? He was selfless. And there's not one sin that will ever be committed apart from selfishness. When you think for yourself, you're subject to sin. When you think for the kingdom, you walk free. How do you know that, brother? Scripture. He who has died, died what? To his own life and himself. Died in the likeness of his death. He who has died. Now, I can't speak for somebody that's just prayed a prayer to go to heaven. That's probably why we got a problem. Because for generations, that's what we've made the gospel. We've just tried to get fish in the boat. We said, God will scale them and clean them. My job's just to get them in the boat. No, your job's to preach the gospel. Not a self-serving little invite. You preach a gospel and all it gives the man is what he can get from God. You don't even have to be a believer to give a head nod. You're just thinking, I'll say yeah in case he's right. So why wouldn't you throw your name in the sweepstakes? If all you had to do was click a box and check it for Publishers Clearing House, why not? They might knock on my door. That doesn't mean you're a believer. For he who has been, which tells me that Jesus didn't sin because he was selfless. He was a selfless man. If he wasn't selfless, he'd be mad. If he wasn't selfless, he'd feel ripped off. If he wasn't selfless, he would have never made it to the cross. Because people were really wrong the whole time he was right. But I guess it ain't about right and wrong because he's righteous. Man, this is all making sense. So he says, forgive them, Father. They're blind, deceived. They don't have a clue, but we know. We know who they are. We know what we're doing. They don't see it. Forgive them. They don't know what they... That's what he's saying, guys. That sure beats, what a bunch of idiots! Duh! Are you kidding me, God, for real? How many things do I have to do? I healed everybody in Capernaum and they still don't get it. I come to my hometown and they're full of unbelief. Everything I say, they criticize and doubt. I can't even get a word in without doubts flooding their mind. God, these people are so blind, they ain't never gonna see. Are you kidding me, God? Barabbas, for real? He kills a man. I raise the dead. He causes conspiracy. I'm trying to make some peace here. And they want to let him go and do this to me? I think I've had about enough. It kind of hits at home. Somehow, we've just heroically figured him instead of looking at someone to follow. Somehow, we just made him a superstar instead of a role model. He doesn't want you to say, well, that was Jesus. He doesn't want you to say that. That doesn't bring him honor. Because then you make him what you can't follow. And I promise you, if I can't find that attitude in him, I don't want it in me. And if I can't see it in his life, why would I be permissible in my life? I don't need to have issues when I have him. You say, well, why couldn't he think like that? Because he's love, not because he's Jesus. Because he's love. Don't forget it. For he who has died has been, go ahead and say it with me and just let it feel good. This is, see, you're quoting scripture. Has been. Yeah, but come on, guys. You know you're always going to sin. You're not perfect. What are you saying? You don't sin? You're probably sinning right now in your mind, your breath, your heart. I want it to sound so foolish how we've been talking for so long so we stop listening to it. If everybody don't stop saying it, fine, but let's stop listening to it. Because right behind me is the word of the Lord. And it says, if you've died to yourself and you wake up to pursue him, pursue his image and live by the Spirit, whether you're doing it perfectly or not, it's going to make you free from sin, and it ain't your fight no more because he already won it. And that doesn't mean you disregard it. That means you start living apart from it like you never thought was possible. And then you'll find when you do that, you can't talk about it because other people will call it heresy. Why? Because they're only living their experience and preaching their experience. So it's a warning signal when a pastor can't hear what I'm saying. It means he has so many issues in his life that he can't hear it, so he's qualifying himself. I had a pastor sit me in the quiet one time and got bold with me. He said, brother, you got to be careful preaching this stuff. He said, everybody has their stuff, man, and everybody has secrets. I said, so what's your secrets? Why don't we just deal with that right now? Because I'm really concerned. See, because that was his experience, he's figuring it has to be truth. So now he can only preach as high as his experience. So when I'm preaching, he's troubled to the point of almost frustrated because I'm over-speaking and not getting real and in denial. Did you ever hear somebody say, you be careful of those guys that are just always okay in your church? You ask them how they're doing, they say, hey, I'm great, brother, praise God. You got to get that man alone when nobody's looking and say, hey, brother, now, how are you really doing? What is the preacher implying? Did you ever hear that scenario? People do that. You know what they're implying? That nobody can be okay. Well, then what are we all excited about? If nobody can be okay, what are we all happy about? You should be so ecstatic that he paid a price to get you free from you, so you can get free from everybody else, so you can finally walk in love and understand what it's like to be a Christian. Yeah? Come on, man. I mean, that's worth getting excited about. What's a roar going on in here tonight about him being Lord if we're still stuck in ourselves? If we're just waiting for some day called heaven, but it's a ride of hell for a while. So what's the good news? Well, I live like a rat, and one day he's going to treat me like I didn't. Ah! Come out from among them and be ye separate. Living like a rat ain't shining. I got that rat from the rat race thing we use. You always say there's a rat race. See, because that's the American dream. I don't know about the Canadian dream. The American dream is just having a maid, big house, everything, occupation, prestige, notoriety, big IRA, no worries, brother. You're winning the rat race, but you're still a rat. What's it matter if you're winning that race if you're a rat? You're just a better rat? I'm confused. I'm going to preach the gospel because I get confused when I think like the world. I get confused. Verse 8. Are we okay or is this boring? Is this okay? I mean, this guy's... You leave here tonight, man. Don't just say, wow, he's goofy or something like that. Hear what we're saying tonight. Like you can leave here forgiven. You can leave here and say, I'm clean in the presence of God because of the blood speaking better things. And you say it from sincerity and faith, and all of a sudden it does something to your conscience and your heart and your life. And all of a sudden you have no nonsense going on, and you don't have time for this, and you ain't looking about this. You're fixed on some, because, man, you're free. And you ain't Lot's wife anymore looking back, staying stuck. You're his bride looking up from whence comes your help. You see what I'm saying? Come on. It's like, don't get tired of this topic. It's what he rules his kingdom with, a scepter called righteous. It's the power of the gospel, the fact that the blood makes you right in the sight of God when you've been wrong. What a gift. What a grace. What a God. He who has died. Now, if we died with Christ, He's still talking about being buried in the baptism of his death. If we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. So it ain't just about dying, it's about living. Romans 9, knowing, third time, you better know. That's why we teach, so we know. Knowing that Christ, but the better way to know is when you leave here and you get alone and nobody's looking. And you're just in the bathroom and you're just brushing up a little, cleaning up, doing a little freshen up before you go to bed. Right? And the door's closed. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for washing me in your blood, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you see me spotless and blameless and blemish-free in your sight. I've talked to countless Christians, never even thought that way when they were alone, let alone talk like that. They just pray stuff they need, things they're worried about. Pray for loved ones. That's all good. Keep doing that. But what about receiving his love? What about communing with the Lord? What about waking up and not trying not to sin, or trying not to sin, but waking up and being righteous? Father, I just thank you for another day. Man, what a gift. What a grace to be alive. That thing I used to call a grindstone called job is a gift, man. I used to want another job because I couldn't stand Larry, the boss. But man, I'll tell you what, God, I see Larry for who he's called to be, created to be. You've done such a work in my heart. I can't wait to get there today. I just believe I'll shine without even trying because you've done a lot of change in me. That would be amazing if you wake up thinking like that. That sure beats, oh no, 6 o'clock already. Gotta go back to that place. God, when are you going to get me a new job? I don't know. And if I got to work beside Johnny today, I don't know what I'm going to do, God. If you love me, you will not let that happen. And then you call that prayer when that's just a self-centered delusion. Like God didn't even hear anything you said. I can prove it. It's in the book of James. When you ask amiss your own lusts and desires, nothing happens. I got scripture on everything. You've been raised from the dead. Having been raised from the dead, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, he dies. No, now he's getting to the punchline. Baptized into his death, buried with him in death, right? He's getting to the punchline. We're only two verses away. I can feel it coming. Can you feel it? Knowing that, you better know this, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, that means death had no dominion over him. He dies no more. So he lives forever. You live in him forever with him, right? That's why we have eternal life. Death no longer has dominion over him. Why? Verse 10. For the death that he died, that you were baptized into, he died to sin once for all. Ah! He's not talking about the way he died, how he died, how many times he got beat. He's talking about what he died to. It's right here. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life, oh, don't you love the semicolon there? But the life that he lives to God. Now watch how he makes us one. He always does it. Likewise, you also, because we follow him. We don't just sing to him and pray to him, we follow him. You reckon yourselves to be dead indeed. Oh, that's strong. To sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 12. Just keep rolling. We're going to do this whole chapter. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Why? Thank you. And do not present your members. Don't yield yourself, think yourself, believe yourself, or give yourself as instruments to unrighteousness, to sin, but instead present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members, instruments for righteousness to God, of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? You're not under the law, you're under grace. What then? So we don't really need to care? Shall we just go ahead and sin and not really think about it? Because we're all sinners, you know. We're probably sinning now some way. So should we just go out and sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Certainly not! Exclamation point. Do you not know, fourth time in this chapter, you better know, that to whom you yield and present yourself slave to obey, as a man thinketh, phew, you are that one slave whom you obey. The word slave means bound and chained to do one's will. Who you present yourself and see yourself to be is exactly what you'll produce, whether it's sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. Man, this is good. 17. You guys are great. Thanks. But God, oh, be thanked that though you were slaves to serve its will, sin's will, yet you obeyed from the, here's the key, you obeyed from the heart that for, see, that's the only thing Satan can play with. So when you're sincere, he plays on your sincerity and tries to get you turning into fault finding and feel like you're not living up to your desire for God, so you believe you're failing. So now because you believe you're failing, you're labeled in your heart as a failure. So until that changes, you don't see yourself different. And that's where condemnation comes in. Some of the purest people toward God I've ever met are secretly condemned in their hearts because they feel like they're not living up to their pure heart towards God. They feel like their life doesn't measure up. And they cry themselves to sleep. And they love God on the inside. You ever see it? Watch this. Yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Now here's the sad thing. Some people live their whole Christian life and were never delivered this. They were just living, well, we're always going to sin. Just be glad God forgives us anyhow. There's no way to ever escape that. You have that nature in you as long as you live. And I'm like, please, I'm trying to be nice, but read your Bible before you preach what you were taught. Oh my goodness, I saw this in another verse. Are you sure God's not a heretic? God couldn't be a heretic, could he? He couldn't be a blasphemer. So it's safe to read this? You don't mind, since like you help pull these meetings together? I got the mic. You okay if I read this? Past tense, this already happened. It'd be nice if you believe it, like now. And having been, see, if all you do is pray a prayer to go to heaven, you might not fit that. You might pray a prayer to go to heaven and still be mad at your boss and still create animosity in your home and think nothing of it because it's normal. But if heaven came into you and you died to yourself, that changes all that. Now you take account and responsibility for your own life, not somebody else's. And you don't listen to the sermon for them, you listen for you, so you become more like Christ. Because Christ in you, not Christ in them, Christ in you. In you, not Christ for you, toward you, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So the only hope of God being seen and known is the Christ in you. So if you were the enemy, wouldn't you try to quench that and push that under the rug and get that all bottled up with a whole bunch of language? Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. It's 10 o'clock. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of it. I just freaked me out. I just totally got freaked out. I saw like three people slip out and I thought, well, no, it's not my preaching. It's way too good. So I thought, there's no way they're walking out on my preaching. It must be late. And I went, So they have permission to leave, but stay just for a second. Don't leave on me yet. Because we're at the punchline. We're just about done. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness. Come on. Before Jesus, man, just whatever you thought of yourself, what others suggested, what you produced and proved to your own mind, just led to more of the same. Yeah? Come on, whoever worked their way out of that. You know how many people grew up doing things and say, well, they all say I'm the black sheep anyway. I guess it just suits. I just get. And we get labeled at a young age and we bear fruit according to what we've been told and according to what we believe. Come on, we done proved it. So why don't we put on a new testimony? For just as you presented your members as slaves for uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, now, how about now, you present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. You see what righteousness produces? Holiness, without you biting your lip to be holy. Whew. I'll tell you what, guys, you start waking up in the morning and believe you're a son, your life will start looking like sonship. Ladies, you wake up and believe you're his princess, his girl, his bride, and you will carry yourself in that humble honor. You wake up and you start believing what he paid for and what he accomplished. You start where he finished, you'll run well. If you don't start where he finished, you'll try to work up to what he finished, but it's finished. Here's where he finished. You're right with God. You're justified as if you never sinned. You're holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you keep believing it and don't let anything change your mind. It's Colossians 1. It's there. For when you were a slave of sin, bound and chained to it to do its will and serve its testimony, you were free in regard to righteousness. See, there's no agreement. What fruit did you have then in the things which you're now ashamed? You look back on and go, duh. For the end of those things is death. But now, third time, having been
set free from sin.
Ooh, doesn't that feel good? And having become chained to God to serve his will and testimony, you have your fruit to holiness, he's telling us twice. And the end of that scenario? That chapter's rocking. Ain't that something? So he keeps writing. We call it chapter 7. We're not going to do the whole chapter. But he says, I write to those who know the law. And then he compares a marriage, and until the spouse dies, the other spouse isn't free. So when one dies, then you can be betrothed to another. And he's talking about the law and being born in Christ. And then he says, was the law bad? Was it evil? Was it? No. And he said, the law showed me my need for sin. And when I was under the law, the things I wanted to do, I couldn't do. So people say, well, look, Paul struggled. Paul is talking about his life apart from Jesus. It's so obvious. How could Paul write all this we just read? And then turn around and say, well, I'm just stuck and damned with sin, man. It's down in me, dude. And the thing I don't want to do, I'm doing. And the thing I don't want to do, I never do. How could he write all that and then talk from his present state and his inner struggles? How can he say, walk in a manner worthy, and then write Romans 7 from his present experience? It boggles my mind that people think he's talking about his life. He's talking about the law. And he said, who could save me from this body of death? A wretched man that I am, meaning under the law. And he says, thank God through Jesus. And then he talks in Romans 8 about living by the Spirit and not live in Romans 7 because you're in the Spirit, not the law. Don't let anybody sell you cheap. You've been bought at too high of a price. Yeah? I can't. There's other scriptures I got to quit. I'll read this and I'm going to pray over you guys and we'll finish. I'm so sorry it's that late. That freaked me out. I saw how late it was. They probably worshiped extra long or something. All sin, they've all fallen short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 25. Whom God set forth as mercy over our sins, right? The mercy seat for our sins. By his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Why? To demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Come on, that is like awesome. Yeah, that's just Jesus, man. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. Well, I do know about you, actually. Nobody's ever loved us this way. In the midst of who we've been, to the point of empowering us to who we're created to be. The gospel is not about getting forgiven of every wrong thing you ever did. The gospel is about becoming what he paid for and becoming what you were from the beginning. It's an exchange of life. He takes the old dead thing, he puts on the new thing. Colossians 3 tells you to put off the old man and his deeds, put on the new man renewed in knowledge and agreement or according to the image of the one who made you. This is so scriptural, it's amazing. Somebody said a long time ago to me, I was in a little family gathering after a service. We were having a little fellowship and gathering and breaking bread. And a guy said, what gifting do you think you are in the body? And what are you thinking? I'm like, man, I don't know. And I said, I really never even think about that stuff, honestly. Not in a weird way. I just don't. And the one guy sitting there, the pastor, he said, he's an image consultant. That's what he said my gifting was. He said, I'm an image consultant. And I said, I like that. From the time you were born, you were trying to find out who you were. Because Adam lost himself through sin. So you and I were born into having no clue who we were, our value, or our future. That's why you needed stability, you needed love, you needed appreciated, you needed kind words, encouraging words. And a lot of us didn't get those things. And whether you get them or not, a short time into life, you're nothing more than a product of however you responded to how it unfolded. Why? Because you didn't know yourself in the first place. So you come to believe things about yourself. And that becomes you. But it's all apart from truth. So can that identity be truth? Not at all. It's just a reaction to life. And some people are introverted. And some people are fighters. Some people respond different ways. Some people get broken and almost die on the inside. And some people toughen up and say, I'm going to not let nobody hurt. But the whole time, everything they're sitting on is a lie. And it's not the real them. So Jesus says you got to come and get born again. As if you were never born before. And you got to die to everything you've been. So you can live to everything he is. It's called Christianity. Anything else is a version of Christianity. You all good? When you get saved isn't when a preacher has an altar call. I could do one right now. When you get saved is when you say in your heart, duh, I've been living for myself. It's time to die to just living for myself. What a lonely place. It's time to start living for his great name. So that my life doesn't point to me. Help me, Holy Spirit, that I would live in a way where my life points to you. If you're a Christian for yourself, you're already in trouble. If you're a Christian for his great name, you're going to grow up into him in all things. Let's just set the record straight and get our motives pure. Because the pure in heart shall see God. You with me? So up here in good old Canada, Edmonton, to be exact, let's go after this thing because I'm looking at an army. Like seriously, when you guys prayed for each other a while ago, it was like another roar in here. It was like, roar. I'm like, you guys are intense. I appreciate you coming tonight. I appreciate you bearing with me and as long as we went. This is good news. You take good news out of here and you present yourself and your members as righteousness and present yourself as being made right with God every day. And if you don't get a whole lot out of this weekend, get this one thing. If you'll let the gospel teach you this one thing, it'll change everything. That every day you wake up, you set your heart on this one thing. Nobody owes me a thing. It's the most powerful place you have found you ever lived. Because ain't nobody can break your heart in that place. There ain't no hurt feelings in that place. There ain't no anxiety of survival in that place. Fear's a wretched lie on the earth, and you know the paradox about fear? You have no authority over what you fear. Nobody owes you a thing. Well, it's easy for you to say you ain't living with my spouse, huh? See? See? So you're going to let where your spouse isn't decide where you are. And you're going to let what they ain't seeing decide what you do see. And then you're going to sing Jesus is the light of the world. Oops. If one person's going to decide who and how you are, you probably ought to make sure their name is Jesus, Son of God. And not say, I wouldn't be this way if it wasn't for, or if it wasn't for isn't Lord. Then why are you letting it matter more than what matters most? We can live this thing. Why don't we stand to our feet, would you? Anybody that we prayed for earlier that felt better, feel any better? Anybody? Check your bodies. Yeah? You do? You do? Good. Anybody else? Back in the back? Wow. Yeah? 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 You feel better even yet than when you first raised your hand? Good. God, yeah, good. It's a pile of hands. Good. If you didn't feel any change in your body, you leave here and do yourself a big, super big favor. You leave here tonight and say, Father, thank you for what you're doing, that you're a healer and that you love me. God, I appreciate the grace working in my life and the change that you're bringing to my body. You go to bed in that kind of faith, that's how your body will change. You go to bed in a quandary, you'll get so many questions, you'll cloud over what your heart once knew. Don't do that. Are you with me? Why don't we lift our hands to heaven? Would you do that? I can ask you that. I saw you as worship. You're wowed. You're okay with this. Lord, we just yield to you. We ask you to continue to come, encourage our heart, build up our hearts, and teach us. Man, we want to shine. We want to run this race worthy of a prize without straining, striving, and struggling. We want to live in grace, and we want our lives to make a difference in the lives of others. Do you mean that? Are you sincere about that? So, Father, in the sincerity, that corporate sincerity, I ask for grace to come and empower us to live in you, live in the Spirit, that our lives, our individual lives, would make a difference, that our corporate lives would just sweep over a land. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen? Amen. Amen.